DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, one of my most favorite scriptures, and it's the one really I usually use in the deepest contemplation of my identity, mine and every Christian, so that anyone who wants to know what is a Christian, and if a Christian wants to ask himself, who am I, my identity, what is the deepest fundamental truth about myself? You know, there are three I's: the I that others say that I am, the I that I think I am, and the I that God sees me to be. And the deepest truth about who a Christian is, if you are a baptized Christian, and this morning you're going to be going to Mass, this morning you may be listening to this on a radio, driving your car, or maybe just whatever you'll be doing this morning, who am I? If you're a Protestant, if you're an Orthodox, if you're a Roman Catholic, your identity. Listen to what St. Paul says in today's Mass. These are the scriptures for today. It's Ephesians 1, 3 to 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Before the world was made, who are you? Before the world was made, he chose us in Christ to be holy and spotless and live through love in his presence. You have been baptized into Christ. That's what you have today. But when were you chosen to be baptized into Christ? Before the world began, before the world was made, God chose us in Christ. Just let's take this. Before the world was made, God in his eternity, before the world was made, God chose us. And just push the pause button there. And think about God before the world began. What was there? Nothing but God. We Christians pray, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Stop there. God existed from the beginning. He is everything he is now and ever shall be. But from the beginning, God is God. and when he was from all eternity, before anything in this world existed. Because what did he do when he created all of this universe? This earth of ours, we now discover, is rotating around a star, and that star is the sun. And the sun is one of millions of stars in our Milky Way. And I believe in Berkeley recently, they discovered 900,000 Milky Ways like ours. The vastness of God's creation. But before anything existed, God, in his eternal life, before the world was made, God chose us in him. From all eternity, God had in mind to send Jesus Christ, his Son, who made heaven and earth, who made all that is. He was determining to send his only begotten Son down to that little speck called earth of his creation to save mankind who had gone against his plan and refused to keep his commandments. And in their disobedience, they had cut off all relationship with God, and God wanted to save mankind. And the choice he had from all eternity, he had determined that he would send his only begotten Son down into this little speck to suffer, to die, and to rise for the salvation of mankind and to go back to heaven, where he came from and where he now is. That God chose you to be in him. Listen, Paul goes on, before the world was made, he chose us in Christ to be holy and spotless and to live through love in his presence. You are a child of God through, with, and in Jesus Christ. Who are you? So many people around you tell you who you are. And so many people around you can tell you what they think of you. And from the time you come into the world, so often our ideas of ourselves are so small that we think so little of ourselves. So many people think so much of themselves. They exaggerate or have a bloated notion of themselves. Who am I? Is such an important teaching and truth about myself to determine my identity. It's the most important truth about me. And because of people who are around me, who have thoughts about me, many times I believe what they think about me. Your mother and father think you're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. They think there's nothing like you. So many of the people that are listening, you either have a high self-opinion or you have a low self-esteem. And I think a psychologist can help you with that. If you have a bloated opinion of yourself or a low self-esteem about yourself, but the truth about yourself is not what others think of you or what you even think of yourself, but the deepest truth about who you are is who God sees you to be. And who are you? You listen to this truth, determining that we should become his adopted sons and daughters through Jesus Christ for his own kind purpose, to make us praise the glory of his grace, his free gift to us in his beloved through his blood we gain our freedom, the forgiveness of our sins. Such is the riches of his grace, which he has shown us in all wisdom and insight. He has let us know the mystery of his purpose, the hidden plan he so kindly made in Christ from the beginning to act upon when the time had run their course to the end, that he would bring everything together under Christ as head, everything in the heavens and on the earth, so that Jesus is the head of the body, and you are a member of his body. Christ is in you in such a unique way. What is your dignity? You are planned by God in an irrepeatable way to have a purpose, a specific, unique purpose. You not only have a unique fingerprint, there's a plan that if you don't fulfill, there is no one else that God is going to create to take your place. You have a place in the body of Christ. When you study St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, there's a plan that this he talks about in the beginning, how you have been chosen. And then you have a purpose and you have been given specific gifts as the teaching of our church unfolds, that you, as a baptized Christian, have a unique, specific plan. You're not really called to be another Mother Teresa. You're not called to be another Saint Francis of Assisi. You're not called to be a John Paul II. You are called to be yourself. What is that calling? As you go deeper and deeper into your own identity, you are a reflection of the beauty, of the dignity, of the power, of the grace of Christ in this world that no one else has ever been given. The specificity and uniqueness of your graces reflected through you call upon you to be this person in the body of Christ. You have a calling. Who is the one who guides you to the determination of Christ who is within you? The Holy Spirit. Just as the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, the role she was to play to be the mother of Jesus, who is our head. So that same Holy Spirit was sent upon the apostles to make Peter the head of the church, to make Paul, when he was baptized, the apostle that he was, to make Stephen the one that he was determined to become. And in that first century church, to make each one of those as part of the body of the church. And he is calling us to be Christ in this world. How important it is then that you come to discover the gifts, the beauty, the plan that God has for you. In Mass today, in Mark's Gospel, why is it so important? Because he's instructing us in this same celebration in the sixth chapter of Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, giving them authority over unclean spirits. And he instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no haversack, no copper for their purses. They were to wear sandals, but he added, do not take a spare tunic. And then he sent them out. If you enter a house and where you stay, there until you leave that district. And if any place does not welcome you and people refuse to listen to you as you walk away, shake the dust from your feet as a sign against them. So they set out to proclaim repentance, and they cast out many demons and anointed many sick people and with oil and cured them. What is the gift that God has given you? Are you a teacher? Are you a nurse? Are you a doctor? Are you someone who is a cleaning lady? Whatever you are called, whatever gifts you have received, God is going to use this specific uniqueness of your gifts to bring about his kingdom in this world. Who you are determines everything. If you're Christ in this world, when you go forth realizing this particular group that Jesus sent out had not yet received the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had not yet suffered and died and risen. The Jesus who suffered and died and rose went back to heaven, determined to send them the Holy Spirit. I have not completed my work until I send the Holy Spirit upon you. And it was Pentecost that began the church. The church to which we go after Jesus ascended into heaven is unfortunately divided at this time, so that some of you who may be listening may be Protestant. But who are you? By your baptism, you're Christ. You might be an Orthodox and you may be listening, but who are you? And if you're a Catholic, who are you? To begin to be aware of our identity. I am Jesus in the world today. And I have a specific, unique calling. And the Holy Spirit is opening up to me who I am. You, Chris, are a married woman. You have a husband. You have children. And you have a calling and a unique, specific apostolate in the world today. I happen to be a Catholic priest. This is my calling. You have a calling. Who you are, do you recognize that the power and the grace that's in you is Christ in the world today, has a plan for you? Each of us has a determined plan, and we have a calling. You have no idea what God will use you for. Call upon the Holy Spirit to open your heart and eyes. What is it, Lord, that you want from me? Who am I? Be open to the Spirit. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I have been called by God and made by God in this 21st century to fulfill a plan that he has for me. I am Jesus in the world today. Christ in every one of us. That's what the Word of God is teaching us today. What a beautiful teaching we have. What is your dignity? Before the world began, God had you in mind. And he was sending you into this 21st century. Don't play small. You are God's child. Your shrinking doesn't fulfill anything in the world today. Who am I? And as I were led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, it could be a hidden work. There was that beautiful, beautiful saint. If you're listening and you really believe that your dignity is to be Christ in the world today, maybe your calling is to be like the little flower in your heart, to love everyone around you with that love that Christ puts into your heart, to love your father and your mother, to love your neighbors, to love the people at work. And maybe no one will know it's Christ pouring out through you into the world today. Call upon the Holy Spirit. Some of you have such tremendous gifts that can be used by God in such a powerful way. You might be a 15-year-old who is hearing this. I am Jesus in the world today. That's who you are. You've been confirmed and called by God. One of the priests that I'm dealing with today had such a powerful conversion as he was preparing for his confirmation at the age of 15. He said it was so powerful, I knew that for the rest of my life, I would only want to follow Jesus Christ. You are Christ in the world today. Every single one who is baptized. Perhaps you have even fallen into sin. Your baptism is deeper. It's your identity. Yes, you're a sinner, but your deepest identity is Christ. And Christ has forgiven and wants to heal you of your sin. For this he came into the world, but not just into the world, like just into the world, but into your heart, so as to save you from your sinfulness. Every single one who is hearing this is really, really Christ when you were baptized. And it is no just haphazard thing. God had determined for you to be a baptized Christian before the world began. And maybe for 2.5 decades, maybe for 25 years, you've ignored who you are. But you are Christ in the world. And when you go into yourself, you will find him there. He is in you, and he is there to remain in you. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to that deepest part of you. Maybe it's the evil spirit who has led you astray, but the Holy Spirit will call you back. And the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus who is in you is much more powerful than any spirit in the world. Jesus is really the Lord of Lords. He has conquered Satan. And if you be in sin, he has conquered sin. And if you be close to death, he has conquered hell and death. He has given you life. Jesus is in you, and you are in him.
Monsignor, there will be many people that will hear this today and they'll say, oh, no, 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 I'm too much of a sinner. I can't possibly be. Or maybe even, well, I feel holy sometimes, but then I slip so easily. And it's just kind of, they put that aside. I can't be that. What would you say to them?
You see, the power of God, the one who initiated this is not you. It's not because you're good. It's because God is good. That same God has wanted to love you and came into you through baptism. That God is pursuing you. That God is chasing you. That God is the initiator of your salvation. All you have to do is stop. Just stop. And do you know what conversion means? He's always been there. All you have to do is turn around. He's been waiting for you. Just turn around. It's that simple. It really is. Turn around, and there he is. I have been here waiting for you all this time. I love you. My love is greater than your weakness. My love is greater than your sin. I am the pursuer. You are the one that I have come to save. I am your Lord and Savior. Do not be afraid. No one is beyond salvation. No one. And you know, all he wants to do is establish a relationship with you. You know, I think of that Muslim who was standing there and watching 20 Egyptian Coptic Christians beheaded. And when he saw them die, "Who is your God?" he was asked. "My God is their God." And he made an act of faith in Jesus Christ and received the gift of martyrdom. That God is a loving God, and that God loves you. And you are so blessed. Blessed are you because you are an adopted daughter and son of God. God bless you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections, with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.